Ephesians chapter 2 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And we're going to look at just a few of these verses here this morning in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to read beginning with verse number 1. But before I read, I want to just take a moment and just pray. We've been really praying about today and about this service today because I know that God wants to minister to people. He wants to help people. And there's a great amount of effort of the enemy to try to stop the work of God. And he tries from every possible way. But we need the Lord's presence and anointing here this morning. And so would you just pray with me for just a moment? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. And Lord, how that it changes our lives. And Lord, I just pray that today the word would have free course and there would be liberty in this service. And Lord, your will would be accomplished, that hearts would be open in any effort of the enemy to blind or hinder the work of God. Lord, that Satan would be bound and his efforts would be stopped in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, that's the topic this morning. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. A lot of questions that people have about God and about the Bible are answered in these verses that I've read for you here this morning. The first three verses are describing the condition of every one of us. There's not anyone here today that is any more loved of God than the other. There's not anyone here today that is any more valuable than the other. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not important. God's not interested in me. He's not concerned about my life or what's going on in my life. But we all stand on level ground before the cross. And we all come to the Lord with the same need of help from the Lord. As a matter of fact, I believe it can be described as a crisis. The greatest crisis of your life is the fact that you are a sinner and you need God to help you. That's the greatest crisis that any of us will ever or have ever faced, is that as we are lost, we're hopelessly lost, we can't do anything about our condition, and it's only when God steps in. But God, when he comes, then everything changes. There is hope, and there is the possibility of forgiveness, and there's the wonderful promise of eternal life. All of these things are made available. It's the greatest crisis that all of us face, that we're in our sin and we can't help ourselves except through Jesus Christ. He's the answer. That is the greatest crisis. I was thinking about things that I would consider to be, you know, a real severe crisis time in your life. If someone was breaking into your home and you're laying in the bed and you hear the window crashing or the back door crashing and someone is breaking into your home, that's a crisis. If you don't have a gun or you don't have no way to defend yourself, it's an even bigger crisis. Other crises that you could think about would be to be on an airplane and for suddenly those little masks to fall down and the plane get in this direction, going down quickly. That would be a crisis. And thankfully, I've never been in any that severe of a situation. Another crisis would be to be somewhere out in the wilderness and to get lost, to not know where you are, and the sun is going down, and you're in the middle of this most fearful place in a wilderness, lost and not have any sense of direction. Now, I could just go on and on about the possibility. Some of you may have experienced some of these things, but if you will just think a minute, all of us have had times in our life when we faced trouble or even crisis. We didn't know what to do about it, and somehow you're here today, so apparently you survived the crisis. But you're not going to be able to survive the crisis of your spiritual condition, lost without God. You can't survive it unless you turn to Jesus Christ. You can't survive it unless you put your trust in the Lord. This scripture describes the condition that we are in. It says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Spiritually dead. To be quickened means that you are made alive. But your sin causes you to be dead spiritually. Dead without any spiritual life or any spiritual hope. It says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." You're just going in the direction that everybody is going. And most people in our world today are lost. They don't know the Lord, and they're going further. They're on a course away from God and disregarding the things of the Lord. "According to the prince and the power of the air." We know who that is. Satan is the one who's orchestrating all of this crisis of sin and has thrown men into the condition that they're in by tempting man and man falling into sin, and all of us born into sin. Isn't it interesting? Little babies. I mean, they don't have to be very old at all, and you can begin to see that nature that they were born with. One of the first words that they learn is no, no. And one of the first things they do is stiffen up and begin to reject someone trying to direct them to do the right thing. And they do that because they were born in sin. They didn't necessarily commit sin, but they were born with that nature that is bent toward doing wrong. And they can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. You're going to live out the days of your life according to the course of this world. You're going to follow the pathway of everyone else in this world unless you come to Jesus. Amen. So these first three verses describe the crisis. It describes the condition that all of the world is in. It says, verse 3, "Among whom also we all had conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh." The word conversation there means our actions, our behavior. That's the way we lived, according to the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. "And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We're all the same. We're all the same. We all are bent towards sin and disobedience to God. Now, that's a pretty bleak picture for all of us, except for that one little phrase there at the beginning of the next verse. But God. But God. It's God who came on the scene. It's God that from the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. Why do you think that there is such an attack against the biblical account of creation? It's because it's not just about man being created by God. But when you read Genesis and the story of the creation, there is the very clear message of the fact that man was born in need and God provided forgiveness for them. After man sinned, and that he recognized that he was in his sin. The Bible says God is the one that killed that animal, the first blood sacrifice that Brother Bright was talking about this morning. That first blood sacrifice, he covered them and gave them the animal skins to cover their flesh as a physical covering. And the shedding of the blood was looking to the day when they would have a spiritual covering. And that was going to be when Jesus laid down his life. Amen. As the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And the reason why the creation story is hated so much by secularists today is because right there in the very beginning, in the story, in the account of creation, is also the wonderful plan of God to bring hope and forgiveness through Jesus Christ the Messiah. Amen. Praise God. And there's no salvation in any other. If you are a person, if you believe the Bible, and I know that most people in America today, they say, I believe what the Bible says. Many of them back away when you begin to say, is the Bible the inspired word of God? Some don't believe that to be true. They say, well, there's all kinds of contradictions and all kinds of things in the Bible that we don't understand. Listen, this Bible is a revelation of the mind of God. How do we think that we can comprehend everything about God's wonderful plan? I believe God reveals to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. But there's no way that you are going to be able to comprehend everything about the plan of God. And I know that it's the carnal mind, the mind that's not saved and is unregenerate. That mind is going to have a great deal of trouble understanding the plan of God that's revealed in the Bible. But the scripture says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible and the message of the Bible is very clear, and that is Jesus came to save sinners, and that's why he came, and that's the message of the gospel. That is to be proclaimed, and you can't be saved by your faith in any other God or any other philosophy, but you can only be saved through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of people are concerned about their life and about their future, and I think that today it's a normal thing to be concerned about your future. That doesn't mean that you turn to tarot cards or horoscopes. Don't do that. Don't turn to those psychic things late at night and all these things that people are looking to try to get answers about their life and about their future. Our future is all contained in the plan of God. It's all contained in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So eternity past, present and future is all contained in Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Him, not only will He forgive the sins of your past, but He will give you grace and help for this day. He'll provide you the power that you need to serve the Lord today. And He's already got your future plans laid out. If you'll just follow the plan of God, He's got the future taken care of as well. Amen. Praise God for that. I don't know what's going to happen November the 6th. I don't know what's going to happen in 2013. I don't know the direction of our nation. I don't know. And I think that we all are concerned about the future, and we wonder what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to our lives and to all the things that are going on in our nation, in our world. It's a crisis in our country today that I believe can only be answered by Jesus Christ. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a real thing. This isn't a Baptist or Pentecostal thing. This is a Bible thing. This is the message of the truth. I'm not up here today to proclaim that this church is the only way to get to heaven. I'm just simply telling you today that I believe that the Bible clearly states that if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to have to come by way of the door, and that door is Jesus. That door is Jesus. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is from Him. And the wonderful truth is that we simply must call upon His name. We don't want to overcomplicate it because He has made this message and this provision simple that even little children comprehend it. They understand guilt. They understand that they're not right. They come under the conviction of the Spirit and of the Word of God, and they recognize their need. And so they know how to find relief by calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. I really think that a lot of people, they worry about, I don't know, I don't believe I could ever live a Christian life. I don't think I could ever live the way that the Bible declares I'm supposed to live. Let me just give you this news here this morning. You're exactly right. You cannot live it. I cannot live it. I don't have the ability, I don't have the power to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. That's why God stepped on the scene, and whenever He saved you, whenever He saved me, it was not just forgiveness of my sins or your sins. It was His wonderful mercy and grace that came to me, His power and His supernatural ability that comes to us that causes us to live our life pleasing to the Lord. Does that mean that we're perfect? No. Does it mean that we might mess up sometime? It's possible. We're still in the flesh, and it's probable that sometime along the line that you're going to mess up, you're going to trip up, you're going to do something that isn't pleasing to the Lord. Does that mean you quit? Does that mean you just give up and say, oh, I've messed up, I've failed God, I guess I might as well give up, I can't do that? No, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. I don't know much about the riches of this world. I know that people that are rich, they have an abundant supply. They have power and resources that are far beyond anything that I could ever understand. If they've got great wealth, I can't comprehend it, but I know that they have such great resources to accomplish a lot of things. But the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. It's like an overwhelming flood that is waiting in the wings, so that whenever you mess up, the mercy of God is right there available, that comes rushing to you to help you in your need. The Bible says that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And the word just means that we have a lawyer, an attorney, who's ready to help us. That as soon as we mess up, as soon as we fail, then we have an attorney that steps up and says, I'm speaking for this person here. I'm representing them. I'm their advocate. I'm standing in for them. And that's Jesus. Jesus. So if we sin, if we fail, if we mess up, we don't give up. We just understand that Jesus, who is rich in mercy, He steps right into where we are, and He speaks for us, and He defends us, and He offers hope and forgiveness for every one of us if we'll put our trust in the Lord. Amen. But God. Now that's a phrase you'll find all through the Scripture. I couldn't go through all of them, but there were more than a dozen times in the Bible that there's a verse of Scripture that has those two words. But God. But let me just give you two or three of them here. One is in Psalm 49 and verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Hallelujah. What does that mean? But God. That means that the Christian dies different than the person who doesn't know the Lord. When a saint of God, a born-again believer, dies, they have the blessing of knowing that that's not the end. But there is a wonderful, glorious place that's provided that we can't even comprehend for the saint of God. And we step from this life and instantly we are ushered into the presence of God. But God provides for us victory even over death. By the way, this text of Scripture here in verse number 7, it kind of describes there's going to be a lot of things going on in heaven that I'm sure that we'll have countless ages to learn about. And the Bible gives us a few little sneak peeks into what might be going on in heaven. And this is one of them in verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What's going to be going on? Well, a part of our time in eternity in heaven is going to be Christ revealing this wonderful plan of salvation, which we can't really even comprehend, although we can participate and we can receive the benefit of it when we get to heaven. All of this glorious plan, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. Heaven is going to be consumed with the explanation of the plan of God. We know in part, but one of these days, we're going to see the full plan of God. We're going to see the gloriousness and the most amazing revealing of the plan of God. That's just one of the things that's going to be taking place in heaven. Hallelujah. Romans 5:8, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a good one. But God commends his love toward us when we were still in our sin. You say, oh, I do all kinds of terrible, wicked things. I live a wicked life. And so God could never love me. Oh, that has nothing to do. What you have done, what you are doing, has nothing to do with the measure of God's love. But God commendeth his love toward you while you were yet in your sin. He loves you no matter how wicked or how evil or how awful of a life that you have lived. It makes no difference. You cannot stop this wonderful flow of the love of God your direction. Praise God. Amen. That God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then I read to you here in Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Amen. That explains that he is the only one that can save. It's only God. No, there's not salvation in any other person or any other name. It's only in Jesus Christ. Amen. So he's the one who can save. And why would he be willing to save us? Why does he offer salvation? It's because of a love that you and I cannot comprehend. We love because we want it to be reciprocated. We love because if someone else loves us, then we love them. And if we love them, they love us. But if there's going to be a breach in that love relationship, then all it requires is that someone begins to back away from that. And eventually, that love will become weaker and weaker, and eventually will be completely broken and destroyed. That's the nature of human love. But that has nothing to do with the love of God. He's rich in mercy, and his love is toward everyone, every man. Amen. So God, in the crisis of all of our lives, and the crisis of your predicament that you're in here today, it is the love of God that's extended to you that you might be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the one that saves. Why does he do it? He loves you. He loves you. How do we understand that? We can't comprehend the depth. We can't understand the greatness, the magnitude of his love and his power toward each and every one of us. It's hard to comprehend, but it's real. It's real. And you can experience the love of God. The love of God that's being poured out towards you. And God so loves you that he wants you to come to him. He is drawing you by his Spirit so that your life can be changed. Amen. Not only do you receive the forgiveness of sin, but you also receive an abundant life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, he forgives your past. Your sins are washed away. They are forgotten. They are forgiven, never to be remembered again. That's what the Bible says. That's your past when you come to the Lord. Your present is the grace of God that causes your life to be the best it can possibly be this side of heaven. Amen. The best it can possibly be in this world is the abundant life that comes to us because of Jesus Christ. A lot of people think they're having a good time because they're doing what they want to do. Selfish pursuit, selfish pleasure does not bring fulfillment. It leaves you with the emptiness and a void in your heart that cannot be filled until you come to Jesus. And He then provides for you grace for your need at that present time, an abundant life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't feel like I've missed out on anything because I've served the Lord since I was a teenager. I probably have missed out on a lot of heartache. No doubt I've missed out on a lot of trouble. And, who knows the pathway that your life would take if you're following the course of this world. But God, who's rich in mercy, God who loves, I reached down to me just as a teenage boy, and I turned to the Lord, and I received the Lord as my Savior. And from that day forward, I have walked with the Lord. Perfect? Oh, no. Far from that. But God, who's rich in mercy and forgiveness, has always defended me, has always forgiven me, and always has caused my life to be an abundant life. Amen. Your life in Christ in this world right now, as I already said, is the best it can possibly be this side of heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that our life and our eternity is in His hands. Amen. So one of these days, every one of us have an appointment with death. Everybody here. We all have an appointment when the end of our days is going to come. We don't know when that day is going to come, but God does. But we are warned in the Scripture that we should number our days. We should look at our life and see the span of our life. Some live to be older, others maybe not quite as old. Even some die when they're very young. It just means that we're to be observant. We're to be careful and take notice of where we are right now in our life so that we can apply our heart to wisdom, is what the Bible says. Look at your life, number your days so you can do the wise thing, and that is turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's a great theologian in a large seminary class that was asked by his students who came around, surrounded him, and asked him, "Would you just talk to us about the greatest thought that you have ever thought about?" And this brilliant theologian thought for just a moment. And then he started to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's the greatest theological thought that you could ever conceive of, that somehow Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and that He has provided a way for you to be saved. He is rich in mercy. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. He wants to provide forgiveness for you. He wants to give you grace, His power and ability to live your life for the Lord. Praise God. That can never happen until there is a "but God" experience in your life. Amen. Amen. Most Christians in this service here this morning, that you were going along in your life and you came to a time when you recognized that you needed to have the Lord. Some of you were young, maybe others of you were older. Doesn't really make any difference. You all came to that crisis time and God stepped on the scene. When God entered into your life, everything was different. Everything was changed. Your whole future, the whole direction of your life is changed because of Jesus Christ. June, I remember when your daughter was so sick and then she passed away, and how that even though that was a heartbreaking, horrible thing, it was probably the biggest crisis you ever faced, but I remember that you turned to God with your whole heart. You've been right there week after week these years since she passed away. You had a "but God" moment in your life. And God moved into that situation that you were in. And I think that I could go around this room, and there's a lot of you that you've gone through some crisis of your life not knowing what to do. But you just cried out to God. And in that day that you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It's as simple as that. You just simply call upon Him. "Lord, I'm lost. I'm in a crisis. I can't help myself." And God, who's rich in mercy, is waiting in the wings. He's ready for you just to simply say, "Oh God, help me." And when you do, the mercy of God comes rushing in. The grace of God becomes a reality in your life. And God changes your life forever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What a glorious and a wonderful, wonderful thing. Amen. I don't know if that was the case, Herman, whenever you got saved. But I do know Herman had been in the hospital and he had a lot of situations going on in his life and he was needing help. But I remember when he walked in the door, he actually got saved at home. But I remember when he walked in and we started hearing the testimony, God moved into that situation. God changed Herman's life. God has put his hand upon him and the grace of God has been manifested in his life. And today God's using him to touch other people's lives because God is rich in mercy. God loves you. God's concerned about you. There's no crisis, no trouble, no problem. But what God cannot be the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. And he's here today just as real as he's ever been. Just as mighty and powerful as he has ever been to give you hope. When will the Lord save you? It's when you reach out to him in faith. Hallelujah. When you just reach out to the Lord, where do you have to be in a particular position? Do you have to be kneeling? Not necessarily physically kneeling. I think you have to be kneeling at least in your heart. There has to be this humbling yourself before God. You don't really have to even be in a church, as I said with Herman's situation. You don't have to get saved in a church. You don't have to get saved at an altar. None of those. You simply have to reach out to faith, in faith to Jesus and call upon the name of the Lord. Wherever you are, I've known of people getting saved driving in their car down the road. We had one testimony of a man or it might have been a woman, I can't remember, who was listening to the radio station, WYGE, in the Christian programming, and pulled over to the side of the road and gave their heart to the Lord and called the radio station and gave the testimony, "I just got saved out here on the interstate." Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you are or what the circumstance of your life might be. He cares about you and he can help you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that for the hope that we have in you today. We thank you for the truth of your word. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you stepped in as our advocate to defend us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, today for every man and woman, every young person in this service today. I ask, Lord, that you would speak by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that faith would rise up in the hearts of every individual here today, and they would realize, my hope is in the Lord. I can't find hope any other source. I can't do anything about the problem of my sin or the direction of my life, but God can. I can't save myself. I'm lost. I'm without hope, but God can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what your trouble or despair, no matter what circumstance of your life today, God knows about that. And he's rich in mercy. Hallelujah. He'll help you. He will help you. He will minister to you. His grace is available to you if you'll call upon the name of the Lord.